Hello, everyone. Welcome to my talk. My name is Hamza, and I'm from Iowa State University. I'll be talking about another application of one Bayesian method for answering this question. Where should we apply biochar? What's even biochar? To put it in a very simple term, biochar is an organic soil amendment that's produced through a thermochemical process called pyrolysis, heating biomass with low oxygen or under limited oxygen condition. Biochars usually tend to show these properties: high pH, high surface area, small particle sizes, high CC, and low bulk density. And because of these properties, they're known to be a very powerful soil amendment. And because of that, they're able to boost crop yield when they can alleviate soil limitation problems. But there are challenges with biochar. And one of the main challenges with biochar is the fact that the interactions of biochar with soil and crop is just so complex and confounding that we can see most of the time, even controversial outcomes in literature for same application of biochar. And because of that, we were confused about the agronomic potential of biochar, and this was a question that actually raised that: where should we even apply biochar to get most out of its application? To answer this question, we started scraping data from literature. We extracted data from more than 100 published studies. All around the world, more than 1,000 observations, 17 variables. And at this point, we decided to model, actually, how yield responds to biochar application. We defined a variable called response ratio, the log of the ratio of yield of biochar divided by the yield of control. But we knew that we were dealing with very challenging modeling exercise because of the fact that we had huge collinearity between our predictors. We had categorical variables. We wanted to have multiple response variables, potentially. We had a huge amount of missing data in our database. And also, we didn't want to have a black box. We wanted to have a model that could get insight out of it. That's why we decided to use a Bayesian method. Well, we used a probabilistic graphical model called Bayesian network. Probabilistical graphical models usually have two components, a qualitative and a quantitative. The qualitative component is what you see, which is basically how different variables in our network, in our system, are related to each other. They're statistically dependent on each other. Nodes are variables, and arcs are statistical dependencies. And the quantitative component is basically the conditional probability of each child given its parents, which needs to be estimated using a training data set. And using these conditional probabilities, we will be able to estimate the condensed full joint distribution of all variables in the system or in this network. Well, when I say a model, a Bayesian network, or a statistical model, you all think of a mathematical equation having a response variable one side and all predictors the other side. But what's interesting about Bayesian network is since you estimate the joint distribution between all variables, at any given point, any of the variables can be a predictor, response variable, and rest could be a predictor. So I'm showing you some of the results that we got. We first checked what we got from the literature. So in the left-hand side, you see a distribution of the response ratio, which we found a 12% increase, basically, in yield response, yield increase after following biochar application. And in the middle and the right-hand side, you see a correlation matrix between response ratio and soil properties and biochar properties. For those of you who are interested about biochar, for the first time, actually, we found significant correlation between biochar properties like the carbon to nitrogen ratio, nitrogen ratio, and carbon to response ratio. But we then tested our model. We tested our model with the only available statistical model out there, which was a GAM with 162 parameters developed by Crane et al. 2013. This is a repeated cross-validation. I brought 12 samples from the repeated cross-validation. In x-axis, we have the observed response ratio, and y-axis, we have the predicted response ratio. And what I'm trying to show here is that our model was never outperformed by the statistical model that was developed by Crane et al. Now that we kind of trusted in our model, we projected our model on the gSurgo database using some predefined biochar properties and application rates. So we defined four different commonly used feedstock materials: switchgrass, corn, soybean, and hardwood, and pyrolysis engineering's slow and fast for two different biochar application rates, 5 and 15. So you see, well, I brought two maps for two different most optimistic and most pessimistic scenarios that we got. Hardwood with a slow pyrolysis 15 resulted in most largest areas with positive response to yield following biochar application. In the right hand side, I have the filtered map for the areas with more than 75% chance of yield increase, which we define as our suitable places, basically. And soybean with fast pyrolysis, 5 tons per hectare, was our most pessimistic scenario, which resulted less than 10% of all farmlands in the U.S. I brought this table to give you a perspective. How does it look like? How different scenarios and with biochar application rate resulted in a different range of suitable areas, from 8% to almost 30%. We did a case study. We were interested to see, now that we modeled actually says a place is a suitable for biochar application, how does it translate to basic soil properties? So I did a case study in Central Valley, California, which, as we expected, for example, in the eastern side of Central Valley, which has very weathered soil with poor quality, high acidic soil, low organic carbon, low CEC, found the most the highest probability of finding yield increase, and the other way around for the western side of California. And regardless of the spatial distribution, spatial variability of properties, soil properties, we tried to see how the model responds for different basic soil properties, and we were kind of surprised by seeing, for example, for field capacity, soil field capacity, would it not even include this parameter in the model, but model could capture the basic essence of our understanding how would it respond to field capacity. That's all I have for. Stop.
We have time for a few questions.
Yeah. Well, the question is if the model is able to tell us about what are the places that we're not supposed to apply biochar. And so one thing about biochar is we think of biochar as a prescriptive tool. So you don't apply biochar unless there is something wrong with the soil properties. If the soil is acidic, or if there is low CEC, or so on, and it or actually distribution of response ratio, the IQR was basically in a positive side, which you could basically say we'll expect to see mostly positive effects, or at least no effect from biochar. I can't think of any case that biochar would harm crop in any way. Sure.
Are there computational limits to the number of points you can sample with a Bayesian network? Can you get a map that big?
Okay. So the resolution of the map, very good question, is 30 by 30 meter resolution for the whole U.S. I give a bit background about how we developed the model. We used Bayes server software. They had a Java API that we had to code in R to use the Java API to develop the network. But in total, I would say the model was pretty fast. And for developing any of these maps, we didn't spend more than 15 or 17 hours.
That's a different definition of fast than I'm used to, 17 hours.
Well, we didn't even, I mean.
When you deal with researchers, I want my letters now.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, 17 hours, but for geospatial statistics.
I'm used to, you're working with process-based models, it takes like days.
Days?
So.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good reference point.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,